Annette Forte and receiver Alshon Jeffrey will carry that news conference live as soon as it starts right here on 670 The Score. Meanwhile, Fox told WBBM this morning that he feels good about the systems the team has in place heading into next
John
season.
John Fox is actually beginning to speak right now. We are going to interrupt rudely so we can hear from the Bears head coach.
Consistency going forward. The good thing is we were able to learn a lot about our team in our first season together. I think that experience is only going to help our decision-making going forward. You know, guys, and there's a lot of positives as we continue to build. We worked hard on adjusting and tweaking the roster throughout the season to better the culture, and I think you've seen that. You know, we're always going to have a focus on intelligent players, tough players, passionate, and good teammates. That's always going to be the case. We knew we needed to get younger, and we did that. We played a lot of younger players amongst the most rookies in the NFL. I think that player development is only going to help us going forward. And heading into the season, I also thought our coaching staff was a strength, and I think that proved to be true as well. And now it's up to us to make the right personnel decisions this offseason. And we need to add talent to our roster. We need to add more playmakers to help us finish close games, and we'll do that. You know, fortunately, we got a lot of different avenues to accomplish this. We got a healthy salary cap. We got extra draft picks. So we got an exciting offseason ahead of us. You know, I'm not going to get into individual player evaluations or contracts, but we got about 32% of our team coming out of contract, so we obviously got a lot of important decisions to make. We start staff meetings tomorrow with our coaches and scouts and all our support staff to go over our roster thoroughly. We'll do that really throughout the week. I think the start of a good off season is accurately evaluating our own team, and that begins tomorrow. From there, we'll put our offseason plan in place. It's going to be fluid, as you guys know. We'll be aggressive. And again, it's a big offseason, and we're fortunate to have a healthy cap and extra picks. With that, we're happy to take any questions.
Ryan Pace and John Fox now taking questions.
How clear of an idea do you have of who could replace Adam if Adam leaves?
Well, I think, again, it's speculative. I don't want to start replacing him, but he's still here. But we have a good plan in place, and finding good quality coaches has never been a problem.
Can you guys say at this point, has anyone asked permission to talk to Adam yet?
Yeah, I won't go into detail. We've had three requests for one coach, and that's been Adam Gase.
Brian, Jay Cutler's performance, how does that affect the draft, the possibility of drafting a quarterback, and that preclude you from drafting one even in the first round?
I think Jay played really well this season. You know, was happy with his performance, and especially with a lot of injuries to our skilled players. I think, you know, he kind of persevered through that. So Jay played well. In regards to the draft, and I honestly mean this, it's always going to be best player available. So if it's a quarterback, it's a quarterback. And, you know, I've said before how important that position is, and that'll continue to be the case.
Ryan, is there concern in the organization that when Gase leaves, that Jay will regress next year if he's not the offensive coordinator?
You know, we have extreme confidence in Jay, so I wouldn't say that's the case at all. And we can still do, you know, whatever the case is, if Gase leaves or not, you know, we can do a lot of things similar offensively too. So, you know, I think, you know, in regards to coaches leaving or staff leaving, we're always going to try to hire the best human talent. And guys, when guys are leaving here, that's going to happen if we're doing good things. And, you know, I think, you know, it's up to us to find the right replacements. I think one of the benefits of John, you know, being 100 years old is he's kind of, you know, he knows a lot of coaches around the league. So I think we'll be in good positions.
You know, let me make this clear. I mean, our systems are our systems. They're not any individual systems. They're our systems.
I'll make it clear. I'm actually not 150 years old.
Offense, defense, or special teams. And that's, you tweak and you grow and you adjust. I mean, you have to do that in this league because it's a fluid league. There's trends and things that happen and things you have to react to, regardless of what they are. That's all part of coaching. But, you know, I think one of the hard things about being a new staff is introducing those systems, and they won't change.
Ryan, how do you evaluate the season and Alshon check they had and kind of affect the practice? What do you do if he does stick around and try to ensure that
they do? You know, good question. You know, he's, you know, obviously when Alshon played, he was explosive and a playmaker for our offense. And, you know, the previous two seasons, he'd been healthy and highly productive. So he was frustrated by his injuries. We were frustrated by his injuries. And, you know, we got to get a better grasp of that. But, you know, part of the evaluation of a player is his injuries and his availability. Uh-huh. And so we'll take that into account. But, you know, going forward, I have a lot of confidence in our sports science team. And, you know, we're gonna think outside the box and be proactive in our, you know, injury prevention approaches. And we'll get that under handle. I think, you know, new season together, and I think John's talked about this before, is as you're evaluating your team, even individual players, okay, what's their ideal body weight? What's their ideal workload? What's their ideal hydration levels? And I think we're finding out about each individual player more and more, and we can kind of fine-tune their plans going forward.
How do you weigh, you know, the thing on the field, that versus production when it comes time to talk about it?
You know, those are all part of the discussions we're going to have in the coming weeks, you know, and those will be thorough discussions. And, you know, that's part of the process is, you know, a guy's injury history. And again, I thought, you know, he stayed healthy the two previous seasons. This season, you know, he was banged up with a variety of injuries, and we got to sort through that.
Right along those lines, what is your philosophy on the franchise tag?
I think it's a tool that we have at our disposal. You know, I think it's a case-by-case basis. I think normally it's the best interest of the club and the player to come to a longer-term agreement, though.
Brian, with the situation at running back, where you have two fourth-round picks, the dollars you have at that position are not huge. Does that give you some more flexibility to do something with that first pick?
It does. You know, speaking of Matt, you know, obviously very accomplished player, very productive this year, does a lot of different things really good. And another thing I want to say is the type of teammate he was this year, the way he handled that rotation and with those younger guys, that was all really positive, you know? So we feel like we got a really good group of running backs. Matt's one of the 18 UFAs that we have that we got to discuss going forward, and we got to be real thorough and honest with that assessment. But we like the idea of a rotational group of running backs, and I thought that was one of our better rooms.
How would you evaluate Kyle Long's season, and what are your thoughts going forward with him?
Oh, stop saying going forward.
Sure. You know, well, first of all, he's extremely athletic, so normally you're putting your most athletic guys on the edges at tackle. I thought, you know, he moved a little bit later in the process, which I think was a real testament to him, the teammate that he is, you know, because that wasn't easy. I thought he got better as the season progressed, you know, with his technique and his hand placement, all those things. So I thought he progressed, he got better. Of course there's growing pains when anybody switches to a new position, but we were proud and of how he handled that and then how he got better throughout the season.
What did you think of Leno at left tackle and the set of position that he can hold down moving forward?
You know, Brad, I think, you know, to be honest with you, Leno was a real pleasant surprise, you know, really exceeded expectations there. You know, and I thought also as he gained confidence, he got better and better. You know, he's very athletic, he's long, he's got good balance. So Leno did very well. And again, we're going to closely evaluate every single player on the team, but we had positive vibes of him coming out of the season.
Brian, this is a total second guess, but I can get that. But when you look at the season Brandon Marshall had, do you have any second thoughts about that trade? Do you think, hey, maybe is there any way to get more out of it than a fifth-round pick?
No.
What are your thoughts on that trade?
You know, Mark, we're really looking forward. You know, I think, you know, happy for him, I'm happy with the guys we have here, too, you know. And, you know, I don't regret any of those decisions. We're just marching forward. And I think when we make decisions like that and reflecting back on that, and it seems like 5 years ago, but it's always what's at the best interest for the club at the time, and that's what we felt was best.
Good answer.
Well, Ron, how do you go about evaluating guys' intangibles and trying to place a value on that when it comes to contracts?
It's a huge part of it. Really, it really is, you know, and especially what we're trying to emphasize, you know, the type of players that we want here. So when we're talking about players, I mean, everything's coming into place. You know, his physical traits, all the intangibles, his injury history, age, all those things are coming into play, and that's why it's good to have all our staff in the room. The scouts and coaches are together on that, and there'll be thorough discussions on everybody taking all those things into account.
Brian, did Martellus Bennett meet your expectations?
You know, Martellus, as you guys know, he's a versatile player. He's very athletic for his size. He's a good blocker. He's a good receiver. He's good in the red zone. Unfortunately, he got hurt, you know, and so the first thing is he's got to get healthy, you know. But, you know, I think everybody, all of our players, you know, are going to try to get better for next year, including him. So, but first thing is he's got to get healthy, and we'll go from there.
But are you concerned? Hmm. Okay, he won a new contract last year, and he missed the program. Are you concerned that happens again this year?
We haven't even got to that yet. You know, I'm sure I'll talk to his agent. We'll talk to him more. You know, we just played yesterday, and again, those meetings will be, you know, thorough as we go through this week. I'm not concerned about that right now.
You don't think the relationship is past the point of being strained where you guys can't fix it?
No, not at all.
You talked about tweaking the roster at times to make sure the culture was going in the direction you wanted. Is there anything more you need to learn about Marty to decide whether he fits with that culture?
No, I think, you know, I think we got a pretty complete picture of him as a player and as a person, and, you know, that takes a whole season, and we had enough time with him to make those assessments.
Do you expect it to be that?
You know, I think to get into anybody specifically and their and them as individuals, I don't want to assess every single guy on the roster. But again, I thought, you know, hey, he fought through some things this year. There's some things he could do better. There's some things he did really well. But we're going to analyze that in the coming weeks.
Ryan, it appeared at least part of the free agency strategy last year was to bring in numbers to fit new schemes. Will that strategy change at all this year to maybe target playmakers or bigger numbers?
Good question. I really think at free agency, you know, we kind of spread out our resources a little bit, so that's, you know, you kind of limit your risk a little bit when you do that. You know, I think last year there might have been a little more one-year deals than we would typically do, just because I think part of that is, hey, we're just getting here, we're evaluating our team. These one-year deals give us a little bit of flexibility. But I don't like to put all our eggs in one basket in free agency. We can be a little more targeted now that we really know our team extremely well. But I don't think you're going to see us make one big splash free agent sign. I think it's going to be kind of spread out your resources a little bit.
You guys had 17 takeaways on defense. How do you get that number much higher? I mean, that's franchise ball.
Brad, it comes down to adding playmakers all over the field, including on defense. And John and I talk about this all the time. We got to get better on third downs. We got to improve our pass rush. We got to get better ball skills. And I think that comes down to just adding playmakers on defense.
Ryan, when you look at Caleb Cutler, how do you evaluate his first season of conditioning? How did that enter the equation when you talk about when he won that?
You know, I thought he did well. You're making that adjustment. He's kind of moved all around, you know, throughout his career. I think he settled into a natural position for him. The things you like about him are, you know, his range, his size, and I think he got more and more comfortable as the season went on. You know, he had to battle some injuries too, which we got to evaluate and assess. But and we'll talk about it going forward. But there's some positive things about him, and I think you got to take into account that he was still growing at that position.
How does your approach change this offseason? Last year,
you know, that you didn't know last year. So, Peggy, I just think it's knowing the character of our players, you know, and I honestly have a better feel for, okay, some areas when you come in, they exceed your expectations. Some areas are better than what we thought. Some areas, you know, hey, as we get further into it, man, this, you know, we really need to address this here, you know. So I think just our focus on areas that we want to improve more than others is more clarity. If that makes sense.
Ryan, sorry to harp on the past. No, what did you learn from the Jeremiah Ratliff episode as a GM? And do you disagree with the kind of criticism that you or somebody above you should have been the point man for that situation?
You know, it's all these things that occur throughout the year. There's no GM manual for every one of these, you know. And I think they're all a case by case basis, you know. And we're doing the best with the information we have at that point in time, you know. And I think it always goes back to me. It's okay. What's at the best interest of the organization? And I think one of the things with me and John being on the same page is one of the things that I think I kind of take pride in is that once we make a decision, we're decisive with it, you know, and we don't let it linger on. And I think that's been the case as we've been together. You make quick, decisive decisions and you move on.
Restate this question.
And it's what's at the best interest for the team. And, you know, maybe in hindsight, hey, was everything perfect? Could we go back and tweak this or that? Sure, you know, you could do that with every decision you make. But I like the fact that we were decisive and we moved on and marched forward.
You know? You're not gonna hit them all out of the park. You know, there's gonna be misses.
They're free, John.
Yeah, I think all those guys played a lot, which is gonna benefit us going forward, you know. So I would say, yeah, we're very happy with the draft class. And then beyond that, some of the college free agents too. You know, those guys had extensive play time, and there's nothing that can replicate that. So, and then we got Kevin coming back. You know, next year he'll be full speed for the offseason program, and that's going to be obviously a huge component to that draft class. But yeah, very happy with it. The biggest, you know, it's you know, John and I will joke about this a lot. You know, it's his first year as a head coach, and we'll reflect back on it. You know, I have mixed emotions on this season. You know, there's been, you know, the record's frustrating, the close losses are frustrating, those can kind of give you some sleepless nights. But then when I think bigger picture, Dan, I'm excited about what we got going here, man. I'm really excited about our staff, I'm excited about our younger players, I'm excited about the culture, the kind of the foundation of what we have. So the whole building really feels like everything is going up, and that's a genuine, sincere feeling. So I'm excited about that, and you know, it's gone by really fast. This is the fastest year of my life, but it's been all good.
Yeah, what have you learned about working with Ryan? Do you think it'll help you guys be more efficient, get more done this year?
Yeah, I think it's been a great experience. I think you know, Ryan's a very hard worker, very good evaluator, very good at what he does, great people person. not big egos involved, you know, pretty much arm-in-arm kind of approach, which I think is critical when you do this, in particular at this level. But it's been a great, experience.
Kevin, next year, is it almost like he's going into a second rookie season because he didn't get out there in game action, or with all the other things that he was able to do behind the scenes, do you expect him to pick it up and be able to contribute right away like a second-year player normally would?
You know, it's always, I'm always careful about putting the expectations on the guys, but the good thing about Kevin is he's really intelligent, he's a really hard worker, and we treated him really like player 54 this year. So traveling with us, being in the meetings, going through that practice period while on PUP, that was beneficial. So he's gained a lot of confidence. So I think he's going to hit things full speed. You know, I'm really excited to kind of unleash Kevin and let everybody see his progress.
You mentioned ample cap room that you guys are going to have going into this offseason. How careful do you have to be not to try to build a foundation through free agency? I think we've seen teams historically kind of crumble and burn.
Exactly, Brad. You know, I think when we're really rolling, we're stringing together successful drafts, and then you're re-signing those guys. That's when you're really rolling, and that's what our goal is. I think initially, as we're kind of getting things built up, you do have to dabble in free agency a little bit. You got to be really careful, you know. And so in the future, I hope to go to where, hey, we're just re-signing our draft picks. But I think initially, you know, you have a lot of needs, so you do kind of have to tread in that water a little bit. And that's why I like kind of spreading out the resources and not just going in and, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket, you know.
How would you evaluate the job you did in your first year?
I know he won't say it about himself, but I thought he did fantastic.
You know, it's been a learning experience. You're kind of learning on the fly here when you're doing it. Like I said, there's no manual for this. You know, I think it helps with the group, the staff that we have. You know, it helps every day, you know, coming in with Coach Fox and the group of guys around me. You know, I think it's just, there's just such a positive, optimistic outlook. So I feel good. I think we're always going to strive to get better, you know, in all areas, you know, in our player evaluation and coaching and in the training room and our strength and conditioning department. And I know we will. I really feel confident in the staff we have. And that's why I'm so confident in our decision making going forward.
Can you clarify the role Chris Stein plays now? Because he's a big part of this. I know he's brought in a lot of young guys, but just for clarity's sake.
Yeah, Cliff is the legal counsel, so he's primarily in that. We still lean on him for a lot, but our primary salary cap negotiator is Joey Lane.
You don't have the emotional ties to some of the players that, you know, some of you may have been here for 6-7 years. In the past, there has been some awkward relationships with the players, some awkward handling of some fan favorites. What's your approach to that?
Yeah, I think the best approach is just to be honest and upfront and face-to-face with every player. And I think they appreciate, they respect that. And that's the way John operates and I operate. So there's a lot of face-to-face, you know, man-to-man type conversations with all these guys and just being honest with them. And that's what everybody wants, you know. And I think anytime we're evaluating our roster, even going forward, we got to take out all those emotional ties. And I always try to look at it like, hey, I'm working for another team and I'm advancing the Chicago Bears. How would I analyze this roster? You know, you got to remove all those emotional ties. And that's just a healthy evaluation process.
How seriously did you consider shutting him down in a surgery on his stomach?
You know, we talked about it. You know, credit to him, he battled through that. And I think you guys saw it was obvious. You know, we were able to lean on our medical staff and determine that we wouldn't put anybody out there if they were doing additional harm. So it was just something he had to fight through. And I think he showed a lot of toughness in doing that. And he's obviously one of our leaders, one of our bell cows. So, you know, he fought through that. I think he was, you know, his production dropped off some, but I still think he was an asset for us. But again, that wasn't something, we would never put somebody out there if they were doing additional harm.
Surgery.
All those guys are doing exit physicals right now. So there'll be a handful of guys that need surgery, but I don't see any long-term effects on any of our players.
Does it matter that Cutler knows he's the quarterback next year going through this offseason, or might there be some surprise or some change? Does he have to know that he's the quarterback?
Yeah, I think Jay knows that we have extreme confidence in him, you know, and we're going to continue to build the offense around him. I think he knows that. I think he also knows that, hey, we're always going to draft the best player available too and acquire as much talent as we can. So we've been very open and up, honest with all our players, but we have a ton of confidence in him. And guys, he played well this year, and I think you guys saw that the turnovers were down, and, you know, he was athletic and extended plays with his feet and did a lot with a lot of injuries at all their skilled positions.
What's the biggest difference in the organization from when you took over to right now?
You know, I think a lot of younger players that have really stepped up and excelled. A whole new staff, a whole new coaching staff, a whole new scouting staff, a whole new training staff, and so those are all new. I'm telling you guys, the atmosphere and the culture in the building just feels really good right now. You know, and I think when you walked out of the locker room yesterday, of course everybody's frustrated, man. We were 6-10. That's not acceptable. But I think everybody walks out with your heads up high because you feel this upward trend happening with this team.
What are your realistic expectations for next season?
You know, record-wise, it's hard, David, to put something on that. But I just think we just got to keep on adding more playmakers, man. And I know we're going to do that with all the different avenues that we have. And I think going into year two of an offensive and defensive system is going to benefit us as well. But we're going to add a lot more playmakers.
Talk about it. Talk over the importance of getting the scouting system, the grading system in. What has the fall been like for the personnel side as you guys have gotten together and as I've been out in the field?
It's been good. Just as I stress how confident I am with our coaches, the same holds true with our scouts. I mean, this will be our first free agency and draft together with, you know, Josh was here last year, but Joe Douglas and Champ, and those are all new guys, and those are major assets for us behind the scenes that give us extreme confidence. So I'm fired up about it. I mean, there's new grading scales, but that's just a tool we use. But just the way it's all coming together, you know, we'll start our front board meetings in a couple weeks, going over all the draftable players, and man, I'm really fired up about it. We got a really good group of scouts.
How much scouting did you do personally yourself college games during the season? How did you decide how you would define your job?
That's a great question, because that's kind of new for me. You know, I'm used to being able to go out all the time, and it's a little different being here. The good thing is tape comes in so fast now. You can do a lot of evaluation here. So I didn't, you know, of course I like to get out more, but sometimes that's hard. I would kind of, what's your most bang for your buck, you know, and get out and see, you know, two teams combined with a lot of draftable players. I tried to do that. So, but you know, more often than not, you're just doing a lot of film here in the office.
Right. What's the next step for Kyle Fuller? What do you want to see out of him this offseason before you see him again?
You know, I thought he got better and better as the season went on and as he gained confidence, you know, and I think he'll get even better this offseason. I think, you know, he really learned how to study his opponent and kind of anticipate things better. And I think that's just part of his growth process, you know, as far as the film study goes. But I think he's an ascending player that, you know, we have a lot of confidence in.
John, how do you evaluate the coaching staff? Are you contemplating any changes there?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll start working on our roster tomorrow. finish up on that on Wednesday. I'll have meetings with the staff. And we'll take a little bit of a break and really kind of get more into that probably in about 10 days. But, you know, again, everybody gets opportunities. Things do change. One thing that's constant is there is change. But I don't anticipate changes, but they could happen.
What? Say what? Save that one, Tanny. I got to hear that again. What?
The only constant is change. I don't anticipate change.
What?
Well, there will be some change, I'm sure.
What?
That was what we expected was pretty much a bunch of nothing, other than if they are at least technically leaving the door open to a Martellus Bennett return, which I think is unlikely.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he asked a question because I mean, I was asking you, there's at least a year left on his contract,
right.
Is there?
I think another.
So it's an easy question. It's not like you got to sign him or you got to do anything. He's there for you, and he didn't really answer it.
Right.
He likes the program.
He just has to get healthy first. He has to get healthy, which basically is telling other teams if you want to trade for him, he's going to be healthy.
Yeah, I don't see why he won't be. But, I mean, it's just like you're hiding behind that rather than saying, yeah, of course he'll be healthy. He'll be ready. He'll be here.
Well, and Cutler got the full endorsement there where you,
yeah, full endorsement.
Where you say extreme confidence and they're going to build around him. Yep. And nobody asked him where he's been. No one said, hey, Ryan, where you been? What you been doing? And Fox sort of swooped in there and said that regarding the Jeremiah Ratliff situation, that you're not going to do everything right.
That's right. Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
It's going to be a slam dunk or whatever he said. That I just find it interesting that I've never heard a guy so fired up about nothing.
He's excited. Ryan's excited.
Dude, you've only just begun. I mean, there's nothing here. Oh, come on. One verse?
And I don't think that Shea McClellan was good.
No.
And I don't.
Not at football.
I didn't see what he saw in Kyle Fuller. I know that he's a first-round pick that they're probably going to have around, but I'm not sure I saw an ascending.
But, I mean, the question about Marty to me was the most evasive thing he did. It was a total, because he's not dead. He's on the injured reserve. He's got a broken rib or whatever it was, and he's under contract. So when he says to me, well, is he going to be part of it? That the injury has nothing to do with it. He said, well, you got to get better first. No, he's going to get better. Yeah, he's not. I mean, I don't think he'll have a broken rib forever. I'm pretty sure, doctor. Is that correct?
Correct.
Correct. All right, so he won't have it forever, so he will be ready. I mean, at some point in the very near future, that wasn't the question. Question was, is he part of it? And and that answer, didn't sound like it at all. It
sounds like he's not.
Yeah,
I think they're tired of him.
I do, too.
And they're going to move on with hope that Zach Miller can stay healthy and have somebody else. But boy,
where was Zach Miller yesterday?
Moving forward. Pushing
his
forward.
Big, beefy presence.
Moving forward.
He's fired up. Come on.
But you don't need to say that.
He's got months of anticipation and constipation.
And then
and I don't know what
he's
saying.
Take 10 days off and then assess the coaching staff, I guess. So there's no commitment to whether or not McPhee is going to have surgery because he either having their exit physicals. I'll bet you he does. I bet you they go in. Whether we find out he does now or later, I bet you they go in for a cleanup. All right. Yeah. Well, they're talking to you, the Bears fan. So what did you make of that? It was your first time hearing from Ryan Pace in a while.
Just on the road.
312-644-6767. Wow. The other thing, too, is that don't expect a big splash in free agency. That he said that they're going to go piecemeal and nibble around a little bit.
Smart way to do it. This hour, by the way, is being brought to you by our guys at Townstone Financial. Got Boers Emergency, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I think that there is plenty of opportunity for them. And what he was pretty upfront about the one-year deals, that they prefer not to do a lot of those one-year deals. That they'd rather have more of a commitment. But what that does is it raises the stakes. Yeah, it's very easy to say, okay, Alan Ball, here's $3 million for a year, or here's this for you, here's this for that. But when you are actually putting your stamp on a guy, then it changes. And he basically said that. And when we say the honeymoon's over too as far as some of your free agent commitments. And I'm not saying it's going to be huge money for a star, but if you give a guy 3 years, you've got a core player. You've got somebody who you are attaching your name to for the length of that deal, at least how it's structured with whatever bonus you sign. So it's not the same as essentially they had tryouts this year, and he explained that. That until you get a handle on what you've got on your roster, you go with those one-year deals.
Well, he didn't seem like he was like this just salivating over the market. I mean, I think that if you're looking for something honest, I think that was honest there, because I think he kind of looks at what he did this year, and it all sounded good, and it just didn't work. And I mean, his approach is the way you have to do it.
There's this thought from Mike, who
buy your way out of
weighs
this.
In. He says, maybe reading a bit into the John Fox answer about GMs and the NFL level, but was there a subtle knock of John Elway in there? Because in speaking about Ryan Pace, he said, I think it's been a great experience. Ryan's a very hard worker, very good evaluator, very good at what he does, great people person, not big egos involved. Pretty much arm-in-arm kind of approach, which I think is critical when you do this, in particular at this level. I hear that, and sure, it's a praise of Pace, but it does seem to speak a little to the situation in Denver.
Oh, Elway's huge ego. I mean, that's exactly what he's talking about.
And difficult
huge,
to work with.
Difficult to work with, yeah. Huge ego. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's like it's transferred from the field right to where he is, and he won't stop.
And Mark says, have there ever been so many head coaching interviews given to a coordinator of a 6-10 team? Usually those coordinators are forced to find interviews for other employment.
Yeah, but if you watch them, you know.
It's also his history. It's also the fact that he had a job last year. He was hot last year, and nothing at all happened with him this year to do anything but to continue to burnish his resume.
Yeah.
Everybody saw what happened. Everybody saw what
everybody knows the Bears were hurt. They had no receivers. They know everything. They know everything about it.
Bellamy out there. Yeah. Come on. Cameron Meredith.
Yeah, under a drive.
Don't be surprised. Yeah. You get it. You saw it. The league knows.
They know. I mean, you can tell the way it was run from day one with Cutler, that you knew it right away. Look, everybody's always looking for the next great coach. Everybody thinks they've hired the next great coach. They go here, they go there, they look here. This is one of those guys that a lot of people think is going to be. Therefore, he will get one of these jobs. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't know which one.
Unless he royally screws up every interview.
I don't think he does.
I don't think so either.
Don't think he does. I think not.
And it's also not a case where he's a Rooney Rule guy, where you can see that, unfortunately, some guys were just brought in for tokenism and say, all right, we complied.
No, he's not that. He's, I mean, he obviously interviews very well. He had the Niners job last year, and what he's been able to do here, and again, were the results spectacular? No. No, results were not spectacular of what he did, but the fact is, even though they were not, it all looked a lot better, and it has ever in the last 7-8 years for this team. And did it quickly. Did it quickly. Actually, it looked like an NFL offense. He got plays on it. All the little things that you needed to do, you check as you watch them, he did.
In Highland, Indiana, Phil has thoughts on the score.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
I've been hearing all day Alshon Jeffrey doesn't want to play in Chicago and blah, blah, this, and that Martellus Bennett is disruptive in the locker room. And, that, you know, here's my solution. I mean, you can give your opinion on it, you know, when I'm done saying what I want to say here.
That's kind of what our job is.
Sign Jeffrey. And then trade him to get some. Just don't let him go. Sign him and then trade him to get something from like a draft pick or something, you know. And then get the kid from Ohio State, that Michael, whatever his name
is. Okay, that's a completion of that thought. Isn't going to help anybody.
Wow. Okay, I'm not going back to Highland.
Highland. Zach Zaidman after an update.
Scoreboard update.
It's 3:29 in the score update studio. I'm Julie DeCaro. Bears head coach John Fox and GM Ryan Pace met with the media just moments ago for the final time this season. Pace said the team's offseason plan will go into effect starting tomorrow. He also said the team is confident in moving the offense forward, even if offensive coordinator Adam Gase leaves for a head coaching job, adding that having coaches leave for bigger opportunities is a hazard of playing well. Gase will interview with the Eagles, Browns, and Dolphins this week. Pace also said that receiver Kevin White will be full speed ahead and ready to go when offseason training begins in April. Meanwhile, John Fox told WBBM this morning that he feels good about the systems the team has in place heading into next season.
Proud of the way the guys went about their business. They hung together. They kept competing. You know, I'm not proud of our record. But we've got a good core that understands our systems. We've got our systems in place. I think our systems have proved worthy now. Well, we just have to get a little bit better.
It's Black Monday around the NFL. 49ers head coach Jim Tom Sula was fired yesterday, along with Browns coach Mike Pettine. Tom Coughlin resigned as the head coach of the Giants today. And in San Diego, the Chargers have officially filed for relocation. They will retain head coach Mike McCoy for 2016. To the hard court, where Derrick Rose had an MRI on his ailing right leg today that came back negative, so he's day-to-day. Coach Fred Hoiberg also said that surgery has been ruled out for Joakim Noah, who is also day-to-day. Bulls host the Bucks tomorrow night. Patrick Kane was named the NHL's third star for December. Calgary left wing Johnny Gaudreau and Washington goaltender Braden Holtby also receiving honors. Kane paced the NHL last month with 19 points. Blackhawks play in Pittsburgh tomorrow night. In college football, Ole Miss receiver Laquon Treadwell and Florida cornerback Vernon Hargraves have both declared for the NFL draft. College basketball, Kansas took the number one spot in this week's AP poll with Oklahoma at number two. Those two teams face off tonight. Maryland and Virginia come in at 3-4. Michigan State falls to number five. Listen to the Boers and Bernstein on Friday, January 8th, for your chance to win a trip for two to Clark's Outposts in Ontario's Wilderness. This once-in-a-lifetime fishing experience is brought to you by the All Canada Show, January 14th through January 17th at Pheasant Run Resort. I'm Julie DeCaro. You're listening to the new radio home for the Chicago Cubs. Starting next season, every game will be heard on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's radio home for Cubs baseball.
How long is it till the Bears report?
Zach Zaidman.
We like Zach and his effort.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
I'm down here with the defensive leader, Pernell McPhee. Can you sum up how you feel this season went?
Not too good. I'm proud of the guys, man, but without a record, man, I'm very disappointed in.
Bears sideline reporter for WBBM.
Down here with Mark Mariani. What's the direction of this franchise going forward?
Exactly in the right direction.
Zach Zaidman.
Down here with the running back, Matt Forte. If this was the last time you suited up as a Bear, what would you tell the fans?
Thank you. Had a lot of great times, great moments that I'm able to hold on. And, I mean, I beat the odds. You know, my childhood dream was to play football, and I was able to do that, especially here for the last 8 years. And not many people get to live out their childhood dream, and I was able to do that.
Zach Zaidman with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
And Zach is brought to you by Napleton's Arlington Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Ed Napleton, second and on since 1931.
He's on Twitter at Zach Zaidman and on the Home Run In Pizza Hotline.
line now open in Chicago's Lakeview neighborhood. What'd you make of that, Zach?
To me, the lead from what you heard is what we've known for quite a while just watching the 2015 Bears. They need playmakers. They need them across the field. It doesn't matter what position you pick. There's, in all likelihood, a chance to add somebody else there to help the Bears out. And that is why, even though there's a belief that the arrow is pointed up, and I think that the arrow is pointing up because you feel as though with this coaching staff, no matter who you add to the roster, that you're going to max out with that player. But the reality is you're in a division with Aaron Rodgers, and the Packers didn't even win that division. So that gives you an idea of the talent gap that exists between the Bears and the top two teams in the NFC
North.
We
knew that, but that wasn't news at this press conference.
Yeah,
though.
So to me, but the fact is that what we don't know, and we weren't going to find an answer to that today, is where specifically is Ryan Pace targeting? Because you can't fix everything in one offseason. So what are the major areas of concern for him heading into the offseason? And quite frankly, we're not going to know that until they begin to sign some free agents and you see kind of how this thing begins to pan out.
What'd you think of the answer on Martellus Bennett?
To me, you guys made a bigger deal of that than I don't think that's the biggest thing heading into.
But what did you think of his answer?
His answer, though.
I think that if a guy's under contract, the last thing you're going to do is rip him at the podium when perhaps you're trying to.
Right, what I'm saying is, I thought he didn't go hard enough. I
would say that he's
It's very easy to say Martellus Bennett is a Bear. I mean, I just even if he was going to trade him, and I think eventually they're going to be done with him.
Yeah,
soon.
We know he's going to get better, Zach. He's not going to, you know.
But the fact that he chose to hide behind an injury when I thought that most GMs in that moment, even if they are going to move on from a guy, say nothing but nice things about him.
Yep,
they did say nice things about him.
No, but he immediately said he just has to get better.
Yeah,
which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was just that's coach / GM speak, right?
Okay, so
but usually coach GM speak is
bye-bye.
But when you hear that,
he doesn't want to say that. See, that's Terry, you got to remember, you're not going to say anything remotely negative. You're not going to be effusive.
No, but are you positive? But do you think bye-bye?
Yes.
Okay. That's all right. That's all I wanted to know. I wanted to know
It's only a matter of how that ends up happening.
Okay.
Which is why
that's what we thought, and
they
I just
gave
was,
that generic answer mm-hmm, today.
Okay.
Meanwhile, there's Alshon Jeffrey's future. Had a chance to talk to him in the locker room today.
Does it matter to you where you play next season?
Yes, it matters to me where I play next season, but I let my agent figure it out. We'll go from there.
Is it important?
Last one, guys.
Is it important to you to be back here?
I love the city of Chicago, but however the situation goes, I mean, like I said, it's business.
That's a lie. He does not love the city of Chicago.
Yeah, no, he might love the city of Chicago. That I don't disagree with. I don't necessarily know that he loves the team he's on.
No, it's the city. It's the weather, largely.
Yeah, you apparently know a lot more than I do.
Yeah,
I think it's too damn
cold.
he misses the South.
I think that.
Did you say? No, let me ask a question before I see your thing, Zach. And you deal with it more than we do because we never talk to Alshon Jeffrey. He's not interested in talking.
But Dan knows everything about him.
Dan does. But I want to ask you.
I know a lot of people who know how he feels.
Yeah. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's anything to the fact that he doesn't like this? I mean, that he doesn't. You know, no matter what the Bears do, if somebody else comes up with an offer, he'll take that other offer rather than the Bears' offer.
Well,
if the Bears say the same.
Here's the question I keep asking myself: are the Bears going to tag him? Because ultimately, if you can't reach a long-term deal with him, do you tag him? And
then
the
other
question,
like Pace wants to.
It didn't sound like
No general manager wants to because it benefits everybody if you can sign a guy to a long-term deal. But the question becomes this. If you let him go, who's replacing him? See, when they let Brandon Marshall go.
But if he's not on the field, it doesn't matter.
But can you put him in a situation where you can get him on the field in terms of changing some of the things that he needs to do.
We've been through this. I think that's wishful thinking. I think you say to maybe increase his value to you, his perceived value to you if you feel that it's important to keep that up.
I think that it's a difficult guy to replace. They could justify saying goodbye to Brandon Marshall, even though Marshall is still an effective player on the field and a playmaker, the kind of guy that Ryan Pace talked about. Because
they
knew
still without a playoff.
He still played in as many playoff games as you have.
Yep. You're absolutely right. But the reality is, it was easy for them to make that decision because they knew they were going to end up with what they believed to be a playmaking wide receiver early on in the draft. So it's easy to say, you're not going to end up with that type of player if Alshon Jeffrey isn't there. Then you also have to take a look at Jay Cutler and throughout his career, the types of receivers that he's needed in order to be at his best. And you saw yesterday was an example of Jay Cutler not at his best against the Lions because he did not have those tall targets to throw to. So that's why I don't think you can easily dismiss Alshon Jeffrey. It's one of the reasons why I think you have to bring him back. But again, it remains to be seen if, A, he wants to be here, if the Bears want him back, and if anyone blows them away, talking about Jeffrey's people, with a contract. So there's a lot. It's a fluid situation from that standpoint. But I still, again, don't see how you can let a guy go if you don't have a replacement for him. And there are not many people out there who can do the things that Jeffrey can do. I know the argument would be that take a look at college football. All these teams that run the spread offenses, receivers are better prepared to play in the NFL today than they've ever been at any point. Mm-hmm. So, again, if you trust your talent evaluation people, and Ryan Pace brought this up, you know, they got a new college scouting director that wasn't around last year when the Bears had their first draft under Ryan Pace because it was still the hybrid of the old regime, the college scouting department, and Ryan Pace. They brought in Joe Douglas, who comes over from the Baltimore Ravens, who traditionally have had successful drafts under general manager Ozzie Newsome. So we'll see if they can find that guy. But until you do, I don't know how you can
Maybe that guy's on your roster already. He just didn't play this year.
I think that was the idea when they got rid of Marshall. That was the replacement there.
Right. And I still think you need two, don't you?
I have no idea if he can do that or not. But I'm just if a guy doesn't like where he's at, I'm not going to bother signing. I just think that gets worse instead of better. And I that's why I ask. I mean, I don't know. He said, you know, everything's money supposedly, but I think it matters to him where he plays. I believe Dan's people. Dan's people, they all gather.
He's told people that. Yeah. It was hard for him when Brandon Marshall left because he's very shy. Alshon is not one of the more social creatures on this roster. He's had a difficult time making friends. And Brandon was kind of his guy, and he felt good around him. I don't know how one relates to the other. It's too easy to say that he's not working as hard as he can to get back from some of these injuries or avoid some of these injuries because he's unhappy, but just that they're on separate fronts, there are issues for him. I don't know that if he's playing somewhere in the South, all of a sudden he's healthier.
Yeah, what he said to you there, Zach, doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement for the Bears because he could have said, "Oh, I hope to hell the Bears sign me. I'd love to stay here, but somebody else comes along like that." But I mean, my first reaction, if I'm enjoying where I'm at, I said, "Boy, I'd love to stay here. But if not, I'll certainly go someplace else and play. But I'd love." But he didn't say that to you, did he?
All I know is when he's on the field. And I believe you can do things. And
I don't
It would
disagree.
Just happen here. I think it would happen any place he goes. He's going to have to invest more in the time that he takes, to the preventative maintenance that you need in order to make sure that you don't suffer some of the injuries that he suffered this past season.
I just think a lot of that's guesswork. I think they talk about their sports science people, but some of that is just voodoo, and some guys just get hurt.
Well, I think there's a belief around the National Football League that Jeffrey is one of those guys who can prevent some of the injuries that have happened to him this past season.
And
you know, it's
tires.
Difficult. For example, this first year he broke his wrist. Remember when he caught a touchdown in Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm.
That's different. That's a football injury. It's going to happen. That's bad luck. But the stuff that happened this season when you have the calf injury in a practice or a walkthrough, before a preseason opener, and that doesn't heal right, and then you have all these other injuries because you're compensating because of that. That's stuff that the team believes, and I think NFL people believe, that you can do a better job of preventing that stuff from happening. So we'll see if he takes that stuff, like he said today, if he takes that stuff seriously during the offseason. As for Matt Forte and his future.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's acting like it's a going away party and all this stuff, and like a funeral or something, but, you know, no decisions have been made yet, so, you know, I can be back.
He could be. There's a possibility there, but here's what has to happen for that to take place.
You have to play very cheaply.
Money has to be no issue for Forte, and I think that's going to be hard because during the offseason, there's going to be a team that likely is on the cusp of winning a championship. And remember, Forte has been to the playoffs once since being drafted by the Bears.
Well, that's what you get for being a Bear.
In 2008. And even though he says he wants to be here, which I'm sure is true to a certain degree, if there's a team that's ready to win right away and they offer him more money than the Bears do,
gone.
How do you turn that down?
He's
now,
gone.
When we had a long discussion about this last week, the example that he uses is Frank Gore. You know, Frank Gore probably thought he had an excellent opportunity to win a championship when, during the offseason, he ended up signing with the Indianapolis Colts. Because, you know, they had this terrific quarterback. You're running back away, you know, from balancing things out. There's an opportunity here. It didn't work out. He also points out to Gore, for people who say that you shouldn't sign a 30-year-old running back, well, you know, he hasn't had the kind of injuries throughout his career that Frank Gore had, and yet the Colts didn't hesitate to sign Gore to a contract. So that's something that he points out, too. It's a very interesting comparison that he makes. My gut feeling is that Forte probably won't be here, even though he wants to be. I just think there are going to be better opportunities for him that he just can't say no to.
Agreed. What about nuggets and tidbits, if anything?
All right. Now, remember, we got into this whole philosophical argument last week. Pernell McPhee had said that one of the things that the Bears need is to have a greater sense of togetherness off the field to help them on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't mean that you don't need talent, because obviously you need talent. But Antrell Roll, another guy who's won a Super Bowl, I just want you to listen to what Roll had to say in regards to that discussion.
There needs to be improvement, more so, you know, within the players. And I don't mean just talent-wise. I mean just the chemistry-wise. I feel like we've developed a lot of chemistry this year, but I think it can always get better. Team chemistry can always get better, you know, just your relationship with players. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's going to take in order for us to win. It needs to be the player-on-player direct contact, direct relationship, whether it's brutal, brutal honesty, constructive criticism. But we need to all know how to approach one another. You need to know, you know, how do you get this guy to go over and beyond? What do you not say in order to, you know, get him into a slump? So, you know, there's a pretty fine line, but I think we've developed a lot of that here, and I think, you know, us as players, we understand each other a whole lot better than we did, you know, prior to coming here.
That's true, but keep in mind, you got to remember this. The Bears were 1-7 at home this season. It is tough to make the play. You got to, for all the people that keep saying everything's going in the right direction, it's better than it was.
That's what Ryan Pace was saying today.
But just keep this in mind. The Bears were 1-7 at home this past season. They've been awful against NFC North teams since they fired Lovie Smith. 4 years ago yesterday, they fired Jerry Angelo as general manager. And at the time, the mandate for the new guy was, hey, you know what? You gotta close that talent gap. Got to narrow that talent gap with the Packers. The Packers now in second place. The Bears are still in last place. They have not shown you any signs that they're capable of winning these division games on a consistent basis or winning at home. These are big things that you have to take care of. And I don't know how you fix all of it and suddenly end up in the playoffs after one offseason of work.
Thank you, Zach.
See you guys.
Thanks, Zach. Zach Zaidman was brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons, and I thank them today. We were out of heat today.
Who?
Me. House. Four Seasons out. Cold. Cold. That damn cold in there. No heat.
And they came out and took care
they
of you?
They certainly did. That's who I call every damn time.
312-644-6767. The Bears have spoken and...
and said nothing.
And
hello there.
Okay.
Hi. How you doing? Hey, what
all
happened?
Right. Well, maybe you heard something we didn't. Maybe you heard something much more interesting.
Yeah.
It's possible. 5 o'clock, we'll get the thoughts of Rich Campbell on all that's going on with the Bears and everything else. You got the score.
Matt Spiegel here.
And Jason Goff here. Right now, you're listening to the longest running sports talk show in the universe. Boers and Bernstein.
But every week, day from 9 a.m. to 1, it's Spiegel and Goff with unfiltered frivolity.
Spiegel and Goff, 9 a.m. to 1.
Talking to Chicago's biggest names in sports and YouTube.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Guys, if you're one of the many men dealing with erectile dysfunction, you know the strain that it can put on your relationship. Maybe you've tried some of the pharmaceutical treatments with little success and harsh side effects. Discover the new you with help from the New Male Medical Center with a location near you. They have a 98% success rate in treating ED. 98%. Amazing. Guys of all ages have reclaimed a healthy sex life without any of the harsh side effects of the pills. And if you've been feeling sluggish and kind of foggy and moody, you could have low testosterone, known as low T. New Mail can treat that too, providing you with renewed energy and sharpness. And if losing weight is your goal, New Mail's all-in-one medical weight loss program could be right for you. Call the experts in men's sexual health, New Mail Medical Center, today.
Call now, 847-852-4144, or visit them online at numale.com. Call New Mail Medical Center, 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. New Mail, the experts in men's sexual health. Sports fans, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, only 11% of U.S. adults have a master's degree. Become a member of this exclusive group by completing a master's in 18 months or less at the Morris Graduate School of Management. For a one-stop admission event, bring your transcript on Wednesday, January 20th to Robert Morris University's Chicago campus. RSVP at robertmorris.edu/masters/RSVP. That's robertmorris.edu/masters/RSVP.
The All Canada Show.
What's that?
Oh, the All Canada Show's coming back to town.
All Canada Show.
Yeah. Remember that trip I took to Canada last year?
Yeah.
Did my research and met the lodge owner at the All Canada Show.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's where you caught that monster pike, right? And took those shore lunch pictures?
Yep. I gotta get back up there.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got room for one more. Huh? Want to come to the show with me and check it out?
You kidding me? I'm in.
The All Canada Show. It's the largest gathering of Canadian lodges in the U.S. Register to win a fantastic Canadian fishing trip to Milton Lake Lodge in Saskatchewan. Enjoy great seminar speakers, including Keith Cavias. Try our new hockey challenge game and have shore lunch with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. Seniors get a discount, kids get in free, and everyone gets a free collector daredevil lure on opening night. Details and discounted tickets are available at allcanada.com. January 14th through 17th at the Pheasant Run Mega Center, St. Charles. Free parking.
The All Canada Show.
2016 is here. What's your New Year's resolution? Still looking for an idea? Jake's Mint Chew can help you or a loved one by providing an alternative to the nasty habit of dipping tobacco. Jake's simulates your ritual of chewing tobacco without the harmful side effects. Its long cut holds the same as smokeless tobacco, but is non-nicotine and tobacco-free because it's made of USDA-certified mint. So order Jake's Mint Chew and get your year off to a healthy start. Purchase online by going to jakesmintchew.com. Jake's Mint Chew. Chew healthy. Chew mint.
If you or someone you know is addicted to drugs or alcohol, please store this number or call right now. 1-800-417-7740. That's 1-800-417-7740. By calling the Addiction Rehab Specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven five-star treatment center that will help you end your drug or alcohol addiction once and for all. Don't waste any more time with drugs or alcohol. Your future is still a bright place. Let the Addiction Rehab Specialist help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. This call is completely confidential, and if you have private insurance, there'll be little to no cost to you. Even if you've already been to treatment, give us a call. There's no need to let drugs and alcohol ruin your life. Take the first step now. Call the Addiction Rehab Specialist at 1-800-417-7740. That's 1-800-417-7740. 1-800-417-7740.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers on back taxes, resulting in back taxes reduced by thousands of dollars. An open phone line has been established by Federal Tax Relief for consumers to call and see if you qualify for this reduction to ensure your financial stability during this decline in the economy. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-237-2199. That's 1-800-237-2199. If you owe back taxes to the IRS, there is no need to fear anymore. The IRS is now accepting reduced settlements from consumers, resulting in tax debts reduced by thousands of dollars. For your free information and to see if you qualify for your reduction, call the Federal Tax Relief Hotline, 1-800-237-2199. 1-800-237-2199. That's 1-800-237-2199.
Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Again, everybody gets opportunities. Things do change. One thing that's constant is there is change. But I don't anticipate changes, but they could happen.
John, if it's a constant, you might want to anticipate it.
if you just sort of made the point that that's the one thing you anticipate, and then you say, well, I don't anticipate it. Even okay, whatever. I'm not going to try to figure out what John Fox is thinking because we're not going to succeed at that. But we asked you what you thought, and you have come out to answer.
We always wonder.
In Evanston, Tom is on the score.
Yeah, how you doing, fellas?
Good. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, I want to talk about the Bears. You know, I've been a season ticket holder. Our family has for 59 years. I live and die with the Bears.
What's your thought about today, okay, Tom?
Yeah.
My thought is, I just don't know about Cutler. Can he take us to the Super Bowl? I figure if we build a team around him, there's a real possibility he could.
Okay, well, I think that's what they're going to try to do. Thank you. In Naperville, it's Carl. He's
there'll
on
be another quarterback.
WSCR. Yeah, eventually there'll be another quarterback, but I think they're
maybe this year.
Next year. Hey, Carl.
Yeah, I was thinking about the Bears' offense. Everybody knows that their offense is mediocre at best, but I don't think there's a team out there right now that really fares the Bears' defense. That's who we were known for. Never were we really known for the offense. But
do you know what year this is? Do you know what the way football is played now?
Yeah, there's very few defenses that have been feared for a long time now. You know that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well,
The game is designed for you to complete 63% of your passes
and put a pile up a ton of yards and keep the chains a moving, as they say. Move the chain.
And you know what? And part of that is you have the possession of the ball. So if you've got a rip-ass defense
what's the point? What are you asking for? What does this have to do with what we're talking about today?
They need to build their defense.
They're going to. They know that. They talked about that. It's not zero sum. You don't build one at the expense of the other. You build it all. So I don't know what you're saying. You don't think the Bears know that they need more players on defense? It's all he talked about. He was asked specifically about takeaways, specifically. And he said he needs more playmakers.
Exactly.
But didn't you hear it?
It's just like Tillman being gone.
He's not even listening. Did you hear Ryan Pace say it? yes or no? Did you hear him say it?
I didn't hear it.
Okay. Well,
it's so damn frustrating.
Please.
Just have a thought about something you heard today.
He wants a rip-ass defense.
Okay, great. So do they.
Everybody would like a rip-ass defense, but even the Broncos.
And Cutler and this.
The Broncos are pretty good at it, but I don't know if I describe it, you know, at times, especially now when I've seen all this guys, as a rip-ass defense.
No, it's just not the way it's done anymore. You try to take the ball away.
Yeah, you can't. You know, those days of that rip-ass defense?
There was some stuff that was said today about the Bears. I'm just curious what you actually think about what Pace and Fox said today about the Bears.
Yeah, it's hard to do that rip-ass defense thing. They don't want you to have one, by the way.
Orson Bernstein on the score.
Matt Spiegel here.
And Jason Goff here. Right now you're listening to the longest-running sports talk show in the universe, Orson Bernstein.
But every weekday from 9 a.m. to 1, it's Spiegel and Goff with unfiltered frivolity.
Spiegel and Goff, 9 a.m. to 1.
Talking to Chicago's biggest names in sports and YouTube.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports.
Stearns and Foster and more. You guys, we've talked to you about Mattress Firm. We hope you've gone and checked it out so far. What a great way to start the new year off with a great night's sleep.
You come in today, by the way, and you get a luxury pillow. God, I'd like that. A mattress protector or mattress frame for just 88 cents each when you purchase select Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest Black Hybrid, or Sealy Posturepedic Optimum mattress set. So that's quite a deal, Maddie, right there. You're cooking.
You know, Mattress Firm is America's number one mattress retailer. They're also the home of America's most highly recommended mattress, the Tempur-Pedic. And I'm telling you, it's the best mattress you'll sleep on. You will sleep happy. And hurry in now, because it is the final days to buy and save on those select Tempur-Pedic mattresses that Terry mentioned before prices go up. When? Tomorrow, January 5th. So you have to get in today. Get out of work. Leave now. Go get yourself a good mattress and have a good night's sleep for a change. Start the year off right. You can sleep happy right there at Mattress Firm. And they'll help you. They'll help you figure out
every
the mattress
step of the
you
way.
Need that's going to give you the best night's sleep that you deserve every night. Remember, it's Mattress Firm. Go to mattressfirm.com to find the store nearest you or call 888-584-6894 for details about credit costs and terms. It's Mattress Firm. Save money and sleep.
Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, whatever you call it, Get Covered Illinois wants you to know you need to enroll in a health plan before January 31st. Having health insurance is the law. If you don't get coverage, you may have to pay a penalty of $695 or more. Coverage is more affordable than you think. Most people can find monthly premiums for $75 or less. Go to getcoveredillinois.gov or call 866-311-1119 to get free in-person help. That's 866-311-1119. Enroll today.
New year, new chance to get organized during the Store More, Save More event going on now at the Home Depot. With totes, shelves, and everything you need to organize every room in your home for less, a lot less. Like the HDX 5 Shelf Storage Unit. It's a special buy for just $29.97. You save over $9. Let's do this at the Store More, Save More event going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details.
Guys, if you're one of the many men dealing with erectile dysfunction, you know the strain that it can put on your relationship. Maybe you've tried some of the pharmaceutical treatments with little success and harsh side effects. Discover the new you with help from the New Male Medical Center with a location near you. They have a 98% success rate in treating ED. 98%. Amazing. Guys of all ages have reclaimed a healthy sex life without any of the harsh side effects of the pills. And if you've been feeling sluggish and kind of foggy and moody, you could have low testosterone, known as low T. New Male can treat that too, providing you with renewed energy and sharpness. And if losing weight is your goal, New Male's all-in-one medical weight loss program could be right for you. Call the experts in men's sexual health, New Male Medical Center, today.
Call now, 847-852-4144, or visit them online at numale.com.